Good afternoon. You turn your Bibles to Malachi, the book of the prophet Malachi, the last verse, the last book of the Old Testament. And we're going to make a start on chapter 3 this afternoon, Malachi chapter 3. In fact, we're going to pick up our reading at verse 17 of chapter 2. I mentioned last time we were in Malachi last week that this forms a link to the chapter 3. Malachi chapter 2 and 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? By saying everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them, or by asking, where is the God of justice? And then Malachi answers that question. In fact, God himself answers that question. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, I send my messenger. He will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger, the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refine them like gold and silver. They will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the idolaters, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widows and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray, speak to us by your Spirit. Speak to us in this means of grace, in the preaching of your word, by your Spirit in our hearts, that we may learn of you, that we may hide your word in our hearts, that we may love your word more, that we may walk in your ways for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen. So verse 1 of chapter 3 of Malachi, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger, the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture. And the people of Israel had been waiting some 4,000 years. And the long era of waiting for the advent of the Messiah was nearing its end. And now here in the book of Malachi, the last writing in the Old Testament, the promise is affirmed again. For 4,000 years, God had spoken through the patriarchs, through his prophets, his priests, kings, judges. He spoke in many and various ways, as the book of Hebrews reminds us. And for us, looking back at history, we know that there's just 1/10 of the time remaining now. 400 years of silence will follow this book from God, and then he will come. The Lord himself, he will speak one last time before he, Jehovah, the ruler, speaks finally in judgment. We closed our study of chapter 2 last week with that verse 17. We noted that belongs to this new section of chapter 3. The last insolent question asked by the people of Israel, where is the God of justice? And that's our link to our study that we start today and only start. God in chapter 3 and verse 1 answers that question now. And this time it's not Malachi in the third person. Note the change of person in the text. But it's God himself speaking in chapter 1. And chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, I send my messenger. Not Malachi, the messenger, sending a messenger, but God says, behold, I will send a messenger, my messenger. And let's observe today in chapter 3 and verse 1 what God promises to do. What God promises to do. And we have, first of all, God promises to send his messenger. It's important to see what God promises to do. And first, he promises to send his messenger, as our text tells us. And we will ask two questions here by way of subpoint. Who is this messenger, and what will this messenger do? Who is this messenger, first of all? It's interesting that in Hebrew, the phrase translated, my messenger, is Malachi. It's the word Malachi, the name of the prophet. Malachi means my messenger. But Malachi is not thinking of himself when he records these words of God. In fact, in the very next phrase, and he will prepare the way before me, is a clue that Malachi is thinking of the well-known prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 5, a prophecy that was extremely popular at this time amongst the Jews during this period. Listen to it. Isaiah writes, a voice in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And this was the messenger that was to prepare the way for God's Messiah. We all know this is John the Baptist. And we know this because the Bible testifies to it. In fact, all four Gospels declare that Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 was fulfilled by John the Baptist. And I'll just give you two references. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 3, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Speaking there, John the Baptist. 1 John 19 to 23. This is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed, he did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. So they said, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said in 40 and verse 3. So it appears from the testimony of Scripture that this messenger is John the Baptist. But what then of Elijah? In fact, chapter 4 of Malachi, verse 5 and 6, seems to indicate it's Elijah. It says, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Again, the New Testament is helpful here as we read in Luke 1 and verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. It is in the spirit and power of Elijah. So these two men had great similarities in their message and to whom they were addressing. John the Baptist came with the same integrity, courage, austerity of stern, serious quality, and fervor of the same power attending his word as Elijah. And you must really appreciate the history of Elijah to see how truly John the Baptist was almost exactly like him. And I quote, he was a large, looming figure, surpassing the greatness of most prophets, if not all. He was almost along the lines of Moses, which makes his appearing with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, not so surprising. Elijah's greatness is probably due to the impression that the world, and especially the apostasy of Israel, had reached its lowest points. Prophets were essentially defenders of Jehovah and of the laws of Moses. Isaiah suddenly appeared on this deplorable state of the world, desperately needing reform, with a ferocity and stern ruggedness that leaps out of the scriptures in fiery rebukes, challenges, and contests. He essentially stands alone, saying, "Repent to Israel," with unmoving faithfulness, unflinching fearfulness, like a man with a face of flint. This unbending, unfaltering spirit of sternness and severity, like a man cracking the whip of God, was predicted to come again to usher in Messiah's entrance into this world. This expectation was a central one in the Jews' mindset in the coming kingdom. Who is God's messenger? It is John the Baptist. And so we have, secondly, the second question: what will the messenger do? What will the messenger do? He will prepare the way. From our text, he will prepare the way. "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me." John the Baptist's job was to be a herald, to announce the coming of a greater one, the one who sent him. As the president will send a team of advisors to his destination for his proposed visit to prepare the way, to clear obstacles, to make announcements, so John came as the messenger of Jehovah. It certainly was not for personal greatness that he came, but rather to announce greatness. He identifies himself as just a voice. I am just a voice calling. John chapter 1 and verse 23, he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said." Verse 29, further down in that passage, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes one who ranks before me, because he was before me.'" What was the work of the messenger of the Lord in preparing the way? First of all, number one, by removing obstacles. John the Baptist's work as a messenger preparing the way for the coming of the Christ was by removing obstacles. From the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40 concerning John the Baptist, we read earlier, "In the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low, uneven ground shall become level, and rough places a plain." A high and lofty one who dwells only with those who are contrite and humble in spirit. So in preparation for the Lord who's coming, whose dwelling place now will be with men, and he will be their God, the obstacles to this need to be removed. And we read in Isaiah 57 and verse 14, "It shall be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's way." Isaiah 62 and verse 10, Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the peoples." And how was this to be done? How was John to remove these obstacles to the coming of the Messiah? By preaching repentance. And this was John the Baptist's message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Down through history, both in the Old and the New Testament, the message has not changed. Turn to God, forsake your sin, forsake self-righteousness and proud reliance on your own goodness. All unbelief and doubt must be removed. this work that is impossible to man must now be done. Jeremiah 31 and verse 8, I have heard Ephraim grieving. You have disciplined me, and I was disciplined. Like an untrained calf, bring me back, that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. Prepare the way for the Lord. Who can do this impossible work? And this preaching of repentance, this time will not be the thundering of the prophets falling on dead ears and stubborn hearts like before. But thirdly, the hearts of men will be turned. He will do this by preaching repentance. And thirdly, the hearts of men will be turned. And you only need to read Jeremiah 31 in talking of the new covenant, which we don't have time to do today. But the hearts of men will be turned. A miraculous work will take place when the messenger of the Lord comes to prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist, the second Elijah, will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. It's read earlier in Luke 1:16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and will go out before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And as John the Baptist prepares the way by preaching, by removing obstacles of faith in the ancient promises of God, and as a people repent and are baptized by John, many of the children of Israel are turned to the Lord their God. And there will be reconciliation to God. Reconciliation of the fathers to their children. The disobedient to turn to the wisdom of the just. To those who believe God, make ready for the Lord a people prepared. This will be the work of the forerunner of John the Baptist. Then God's second promise will be fulfilled. Main point number two. God's second promise will be fulfilled. The Lord himself will come. The Lord himself will come. From our text, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The second thing that God promises here is an astounding thing. The Lord himself will come. It is one thing for God to send a messenger. Indeed, this is what God has been doing for many hundreds of years. At this point in time, he sent messengers like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. He sent the so-called minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah. And now he is sending Malachi. And he's promising to send John the Baptist too. But now the truly incredible thing is that God is promising to dispense of messengers and to come himself. The Lord himself. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant. This messenger is not the forerunner, but the Lord himself, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. This is exactly what Isaiah prophesied. It was what John the Baptist had in mind when he said, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I'm not worthy to untie. And when Jesus was revealed to John at his baptism, John declared unequivocally, and I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God, the Messiah. These texts are testimonies to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, as there are many other things that attest to his deity. The voice from heaven at his baptism, and again on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. There was Christ's own claims, I and the Father are one. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. There were the miracles, the resurrection. But among these many claims and evidences, the great Old Testament prophecies stand out. Who is the messenger if not John the Baptist? Whom is the Lord for whom he was to prepare the way if not Jesus? If Jesus is not the Son of God, then these prophecies have not been fulfilled and the Bible would be unreliable. Brothers and sisters, irrefutable evidence before us of the fulfillment of prophecy and the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. I think it was John Stott who said, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Let's note two things from our text about the Lord who promises to come, and we cannot exhaust this text today. We'll pick up again the next time we're together. Two things from the Lord who promises to come. Number one, he will suddenly come to his temple. He will suddenly come to his temple. The Lord shall come, the one vested with authority and power, the supreme leader. He is the son of David, whom David called his Lord, sitting at the right hand of the Lord Jehovah. In Psalm 110 and verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. Who was as the eternal royal high priest. In the same psalm and verse 4, you priest forever after the order of Melchizedek is Jehovah our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is righteousness. This is the one whose name is Mighty God. He will suddenly come to his temple. Brothers and sisters, this is phenomenal. When the Lord suddenly comes, Jehovah comes. Unexpectedly. If we go to the Gospels in the New Testament, we see how suddenly and unexpectedly came the announcement of the forerunner of John the Baptist's birth, of the Messiah's birth. How unexpected the voice in the wilderness, the public appearing of the Messiah, all in exact fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. And he comes to his temple. The temple built by Solomon and rebuilt by Zerubbabel was Jehovah's dwelling place, which prefigured the New Testament temple of God, which is what? His holy Christian church. Ezekiel 37, verse 27, my dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. The Lord will suddenly come to his temple. The second thing we see about his coming, he will come as a desired messenger of the covenant. He will come as the desired messenger of the covenant. We won't even get into the actual covenant today, but the second part of verse 1, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. That covenant hinted at in Malachi, in chapter 1 of Malachi, from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. The everlasting covenant spoken of throughout the Old Testament and identified as the new covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in the epistles. Ezekiel 37, verse 26, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will set them in the land and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. Hebrews 9 and verse 15, therefore he is the Messiah. Christ is the Lord who will come, is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. In the light of the burdens of the book of Malachi, it seems strange here that the messenger of the covenant, the Lord, is referred to the one as the one whom you seek, and the message of the covenant in whom you delight. That seems a little strange, and it's really a reference to chapter 2 and verse 17 that we observed last week in the prophecies, in their mocking accusation, where is the God of justice? And God answering them, my messenger is coming, as well as the Lord himself. The one whom you seek, the one whom you ask after. Where is the God of justice? The one whom you seek, he is the one who will suddenly appear in his temple. And though the nation was in desperately bad condition spiritually at this time, and we've seen this in Malachi, both the priests as well as the people, yet throughout the Old Testament era, there'd been large numbers of believing children of God who in eager longing awaited the coming of the woman's seed. Too many to mention, men like Abraham, Genesis 15 and verse 6, and he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven, the number of stars, if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Psalm 147, oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. These people were writing beyond themselves. The numerous prophecies of Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of course, we will not forget Simeon in the temple, held Jesus in his arms. Luke chapter 2, we read, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took up the child in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. What did God's promise? What did God promise to do here in Malachi? To send a messenger, to send John the Baptist, the spirit and power of Elijah. And he will prepare the way for the promised Messiah by removing obstacles to faith in God, by preaching of repentance. And by his preaching, the hearts of men will be turned to God. The second thing God promised here in Malachi is that the Lord himself will come. He will come suddenly and unexpectedly, and he will come to his temple, not the Old Testament temple made with wood and stone and gold and silver and precious stones, but his dwelling place will be with men, as he predicted, as predicted by the prophets. God himself will dwell with them and be their God. The New Testament church, which he has ushered in as the messenger of the new covenant in his own blood, is the one desired by all nations, not just the Jews of old. Dear friends, as we close today, we are looking back at history, and all these marvelous events have already taken place. The forerunner, John the Baptist, has come and gone, but his message is still the same, and it's relevant to you and to me. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I ask you today, while there's still valleys and mountains in your way, is the greatest obstacle still in your way the fact that you refuse to believe on the Messiah of God? Are you still relying on your own righteousness and good works, trying to earn passage back to God? Remove these obstacles today. Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from your self-righteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The messenger of the covenant has come, even the Lord Jesus Christ, who by his work on the cross sealed the covenant, the new covenant, in his own blood, securing redemption for all his people throughout all time who have believed God's promises from Abraham and to you today, if you will believe on his name. Brothers and sisters, the one in whom we delight, the one whom we've been waiting for, the Lord, the Messiah of God, he has come to us, his temple, his church, and he dwells with us and in us by his Spirit. Delight yourself in the Son. Worship the Son who now sits at the right hand of the throne of God Almighty, and who continue to long for his second appearing, when he shall judge the world in righteousness, and all those who once again will delight in his appearing. And we will be with the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we bless you for your precious word. How we thank you that God has promised, and will he not do it? How we thank you that you sent your messenger to prepare the way, who has turned the hearts of children to their fathers, who's turned people back to you. How we thank you that you have come in your temple and to your people. How we thank you, Lord, that the dwelling of God is now with men. He himself shall dwell with them and be their God. How we thank you, Lord, that these promises have been fulfilled. And we, though we face many trials and difficulties, though we face affliction, though we face sometimes the weakening of our faith, we can rest assured because your dwelling place is with men, and you walk among the seven candlesticks. You are with your church, and you by your Spirit indwell every believer who has believed on your Messiah. Lord, we bless you and we worship you for these precious and great promises that have been fulfilled. And we pray that we might be longing for your second return and your second coming, which will take place. For God is not a man that he should lie, neither son of man that he should repent. For Christ's sake and his glory, amen.